I'm glad to be in church. Glad for everyone that is here. And, I'm especially honored to see someone that I haven't seen in a real long time and I hadn't got to speak yet, but I hope before I leave here get to. JR, it's good to see you. I'm proud of all 21 years, Brother Jared. I'm proud of all 53 years, I can be honest. I'm not ashamed of how old I am. I felt every year of it this week, but you can be seated. One of the major breakups in the music industry was in the mid-60s. There was numerous number one hits that were written and recorded. When this famous duo broke up due to marital issues, there was two men, one by the name of Billy Sherrill and the other Glenn Sutton, penned the words to a song, not knowing what the outcome would be. That song in 1967 spent 3 weeks at number one. It was on the charts for over 18 weeks. It went on to later earn the person that sung it a Grammy Award for Best Female Country Vocalist Performer. When they wrote the words to the song, it simply says, "Today I sat at a window and I watched our little girl outside at play with the little boy next door like so many times before, but something didn't seem quite right today. So I went outside to see what they were doing. And then the teardrops made my eyes grow dim, 'cause I heard him name a game, and I hung my head in shame when I heard our little girl say, 'I don't want to play house.'" Tammy Wynette had just left George Jones. It was, I left here on Sunday night after a tremendous service, and I will have to say that I have never experienced anything like that in my life as a minister, the way God used me that night, feeling the different pains that was going on. And I got into the office and I told Brother Leva, "Would you please pray for me?" I said, "I feel so dizzy. I feel like the room is spinning." And he stood up and he began to pray. And as he prayed, the dizziness left, and he says, "Dear God," he said, "feels like the room just took a spin. I left and had my wife to drive me home, and things that happened through the night and wound up very sick, but it was one morning this week, and I don't know exactly which morning it was, that I heard this song being sung. And I quickly sat on the side of the bed, and I tried to figure out what was actually going on. And as I listened to what, I didn't know if I was dreaming, or I didn't know really what was going on, and I heard something. Why am I thinking on this song? When I heard, and I made the statement in my mind, why am I hearing this? And the words I heard was not the words of the song, but the title to the message that I'm preaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and then 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And Timothy went on to write in chapter 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And I want to preach for a few minutes from this subject. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play church. If you've come to play church, you're in the wrong building. It's not time to just walk in and patty cake for Jesus. It's not time to come and just offer a half-hearted sacrifice. When you begin to read about sacrifices that were given of not a pure heart, you can see the ramifications of things that happened throughout the scripture. But when I walk into the house of the Lord, it is to give him everything that I've got within me. Every ounce of strength that I can muster up. It doesn't matter if I'm wet with sweat when I leave here, if the hair is out of place, if the shoes is scuffed up, it really doesn't matter, because I don't want to play church. We are living in a day and an hour that he is going to come back after a church. You can't just have a form of godliness. You can't just walk in here and dress the part on Sunday and look like something else on Monday. You can't raise your hands and give God praise on a Sunday and walk out on a Monday and just talk in the old way. Just don't happen. God will turn you over to something that you won't know how to get away from it. We come and we offer sacrifices that are probably a stench in the nostrils of God. That he looks down on us sometimes. We know how to say hallelujah. We know how to say praise the Lord. We know just the right time to throw our hand in the air and shout, preach it! Wonder how long he's going to preach before we can get out and go to Chili's. Amen! Let me tell you this joke I heard a while ago. You're playing church. I know without a doubt in my mind that when my feet hit the floor, whatever morning it was, when I heard these words, I don't want to play church. I began to tremble. And I thought, God, how many times have I walked into your presence and you were wanting to do something for me? And I give you half praise. I appeased myself by coming and sitting on the pew. I appeased myself by giving in the offering. I appeased myself by giving a token hand clap. We come in and it's sometimes like God, like Jesus when he walked into the temple that day. It was a Passover. They were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money are sitting around. It done something to him. You can find it and read it and read between the lines that he left church and he went and he made him a whip and he walked back in to where the money changers, where those that were selling forbidden sacrifices. How do you know we're playing church, Brother Barn? Because the scripture says that you're to love him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. Everything about you belongs unto him. But we come and we patty cake and we... Ooh, it felt good in the church tonight. The air was just right. They sung just right. And I liked the songs they sung. And the preacher didn't preach but about 15 minutes. And we was out of there. We're going to do something else. And what we've really done, we walked in. And we walked up to where the money changers was at. And said, I've come to offer a sacrifice. But I really didn't want to go to all of the trouble and pick up the right sacrifice and bring it like I've been instructed to do. So what can you sell me? What can I purchase that'll make everybody around go, they're good Christian? Oh, it's Sunday night. I understand that. Nobody understands it Sunday night more than I do. Well, we have a lamb here. It's got one of the legs is twisted just a little bit. But you know, when you walk straight in there with it, if you'll hold it and take it in there, they're going to sacrifice it. Nobody will never know it. You got out of the car and you cussed your companion out. And you want to blame it on the traffic. Traffic ain't the problem. The problem is that you're playing church. The problem is that you're doing something that you ain't got no business doing. I don't know which way to turn and look, because I got puzzled looks everywhere. I'm going to just look that way. I can't see nothing looking into the light. And so we offer a sacrifice that's got a crooked leg on it, or there's a blemish somewhere that you really can't see it if you don't inspect it too close. If Brother Bourne will just come in there and just preach a little faith and let us go, get us all hyped up and get us out of the building, I'll feel better about it, and I'll find some excuse why I can't be there on Tuesday night. Because I'm really just playing church. Nothing wrong with that dove, just one of the little talons is messed up. You know, it's got one little clip off the wing. It's no big deal. They gonna pluck it, they gonna kill it, they gonna offer that sacrifice. And I can remember as a child, we used to play church. I was always a preacher. I wanted to lay hands on folks. Suddenly, I knew the scripture. Son, if you're gonna pray for them kids while y'all playing church, you can't lay hands on them so forcibly, casting the devil out. No, you're knocking the devil out. But it was, who's going to sing the special? And I don't want to testify. I testified last time. I want to sing. You can't sing. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise. We don't want to hear your noise. I'm just going to sit over here on the pew. Well, you look just like. And if we did good, if the show was good, we could hold their attention. But if the show wasn't good, they was ready to go do something else. They was going to go play somewhere else. Whoop, church is over. Go to Chili's. Banana sandwich time. We always had to eat after church. I did anyway. So they go search for something. You see, we as church leaders, if we do a good job, if we're entertaining enough, we can hold a crowd. We can build a congregation. But playing church is a pathetic, meaningless way to pass a lifetime. Why in thunder do you want to come and play church and die lost sitting on a pew if you're just trying to appease your conscience? My God, get out. Because where you're headed, you're not going to have any fun. It's not going to be games and laughter. If I'm good enough, they'll stay. If I'm not good enough, they're going to find somewhere else where the show is better. If I'm not entertaining enough, if we don't have enough riffs off the guitar or enough bass solos, or if the keyboard doesn't sound just right, if we don't hear that organ squall every once in a while, something's wrong. We're going to go where they entertain us. I've had people tell me in the last some time that they want to hear you preach. You might wish you hadn't. But are you playing church? And I'm thankful for every Sunday school teacher for the job that you do. It's a very thankless job. It is right below cleaning toilets, in my opinion. Because people are thankful for a clean restroom. They don't hardly ever think a Sunday school teacher. But we sometimes catch ourselves doing the same thing every Sunday morning. We rig up the right environment. We grab the right supplies. We usually know who's playing what role. But are we really participating in church, or are we just pretending? We're created to worship God. And until we recognize the spiritual principle and how to practice true worship, we will never be completely satisfied, because it's only in the presence of God that can feel that emptiness of the soul, because true worship invites Him in to feel that emptiness with Himself. You cannot experience it any other way. You can't experience it playing church. Jesus was the big news. He was the main topic of every conversation. He had healed the leper. He had given sight to the blind. He caused the widow's son to get up out of the coffin. Everybody wanted Jesus at their party. Everybody wanted Him to be there where He could draw a crowd. We boast that Jesus is in the house. Oh, hallelujah. We boast that He can do miracles. We boast that He can heal sugar diabetes. We boast that He can heal cancer. We boast that He can heal broken limbs. We boast that He can raise the dead. But sometimes we're like Simon, who was an arrogant Pharisee, who invited Him to the house for a feast. And Jesus will come to church. Hoping for an opportunity to minister to somebody in this place. He wants to minister from right to left, front and back. He wants to minister to men and women, to boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas. He wants to minister to whatever nationality you are. It's His desire. But it could be that in spite of us just playing church sometimes, that He walks in, because He knows there's going to be somebody that's going to walk in that is going to need divine intervention. And He looks past our pharisaical way of, and we go through the motions, and we read a scripture and we sing a couple of songs and there's announcements, and all of that's fine and dandy, I guess. I hate announcements. I hate them. I don't want no more announcements. Look on the internet. Ask somebody. My God, it takes up too much time. There'll be some people, now how many services are we going to have on Sunday? 10. And we're eating on Monday. We don't listen because we're so preoccupied. We're trying to find a shortcut. We're trying to find some way that we can finagle around, like I said this morning, to make our own self feel good about something. So we just like Simon the Pharisee, and we walk in with our critical ambitions, and we see somebody with their hands raised and tears are flowing down their face, and we go, undoubtedly he's not going to touch them. Do you know what kind of person that is? I brought you here to make the building look good. Look what we've done. Ain't it? Don't it look good? If you knew what kind of woman that was, you wouldn't have her washing your feet. You wouldn't have her touching you. Simon, it's custom that when guests walk into the house, that you wash their feet. It's custom that you get a servant there to offer them a towel. You have done none of this. All you're really doing, you know the word, Simon, because you're a Pharisee. You go to church. That's what it really meant. He goes to church. But God is always, he responds to a seeking heart. Worship begins with a seeking heart. When we seek God, we must seek him with our whole heart, not just pretend. You've got to understand, I'm not walking in here with an agenda tonight. I've preached to myself all week long. I don't want to play church. When I walk in here, I've got to feel his presence. I've got to feel his anointing. I've got to know that he touched my life and done something and changed me from what I was. I've got to know it. I can't play church. The end is too close at hand. You see, to seek literally means to pursue, to chase, or to hunt. Read the story of someone in India. They were seeking God and they went to a wise old man for counsel. They asked the question, how can I find God? And so the old man said, come go with me, and they went down to the river. They waded out into the deep water, and it wasn't but just a minute, they were into water up to their chin. And suddenly the old man grabbed the young man by the neck and he pushed him under the water. He held him down, healing. He's trying to figure out what is going on. I'm fixing to drown. I've got to have some help. When it looked like that minute was going to be there, that would be his last on this earth, the old man pulled him out of the water. He said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? He said, I ask you a question. And he said, what in the world has this got to do with me finding God? He said, what is it that you wanted more than anything that split second before I pulled you back out? He said, I wanted air. I needed air. That's all I could think of. I need air. Everything in me said, I need air. He says, when you start seeking God with that fervency, then you will find God. When we come to church and we're not playing church and we're not patty caking, we're going to see that apostolic revival that God has intended for this church to have. But we've got to seek it with a fervency like we've never. Oh, so much more as we see the day approaching. We've got to pursue God. We have something that unites us far beyond the color of our skin. I like this congregation. I'm just honest, I really like it. We got rednecks. We got Mexicans. We got Colombians. We got Hondurans. We got Iranians. Hardheads. Y'all were waiting on it, wasn't you? Syrians. Goof ups. According to the status quo of the world, we got some losers. Why are you preaching a message like you're preaching tonight? To warn us that there is a danger if we are not careful that we will walk in and begin to play church. We look around, everything's going good. It's beyond the color of our skin. Because there's white, blacks, browns, yellows. If you look real close, there might be some Martians. But what unites us goes beyond the color of our skin. It goes beyond the bottom line of our bank account. My bank account ain't got no bottom line. It goes beyond the zip code where you get your mail. It goes beyond if you have letters at the end of your name. He, Jesus, is the unifying factor that truly defines the church. It's more than the singing of songs together, or listening to a sermon together, or even praying together. It's all about a relationship. You go into it playing house like Mr. Sherrill wrote about in 1967, you'll wind up just like the song. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, in a way, it unifies us. That unity comes through the new birth, the repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if the church is not thinking or acting in a way of how to win the lost, we're playing church. If we're not discipling those that have received the Holy Ghost, we're just playing church. If it's not the very being of us that worships God, then we're playing church. If we're not ministering to people and the community around us, we're just playing church. We've got to participate in the great task of world evangelism. We've got to engage in a cultural revival and renewal. If we're not part, I'm going back to this world evangelism. I'm unable this week to go to General Conference, but I watched all the sessions that I could watch. On Thursday night, they raised close to $4 million at one of the smallest General Conferences we've had in a long time, and with the exception of about 8 missionaries that were not there, everybody else is on their way back to the foreign field. I thought, if we don't participate, we're playing church. We're not only falling short of biblical mandate, but we're simply playing church without being the church. And my God, some of us are good at playing church. You've seen it many times. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's where we are. Everything seems fine on Sunday. Appearance, everything looks okay. But when you really get to know them, when you realize that things aren't always as they appear, we become skilled at pretending that everything's okay. I wish I could remember the guy's name. He has already passed away. His name was George. Anybody remember George around here? You could ask George, "George, how are you doing?" "Not too good." At least he was honest. But we become skilled at pretending that everything's okay. But you never really allow the church to be the church. You see, Jesus came for the sick, for the broken, and the wounded. I'm paraphrasing Mark chapter 2. When we are doing that, we are, when the sick is being healed, and the broken is being mended, and the wounded is being bound up. Not bound, but that we're binding the wounds. We're at our best as a church. But I've seen people play church and mask the reality of their life. They wanted everybody to think that they were happy. They put on a false smile so you couldn't see the tears that they were crying. I've seen people that the minute you walk up, they had a humorous something to tell you because they were trying to hide all the drama in their life. Because there's something that I don't want you to see. You see, there's some that they begin to hide. They step back. They quit attending church. They find a way to stay busy. They overcommit themselves trying to hide the pain. There's people that will come to church. Their sleeves is right. The length of their dress is right. Their hair looks right. They look all cleaned up. It looks like they're making wise decisions. They're good little Christians is what they are. But in reality, they've made a mess of things in their life. And they don't know how to fix them. Can we stand? Have you ever seen anybody that masks the reality of their life? I wonder if there's anybody in this place tonight that would be transparent, completely transparent. Just simply step from where you are and say, I'm tired of wearing the mask. Are you hiding? Are you the cut up? Are you all smiles? Are you really tired of hiding who you really are? What I really want to know is there anybody with all of this that you're just tired of playing church? You're not afraid, you're not ashamed to let your real self be made known. Because in your brokenness, I've thought many times on the truck driver. Traveling through West Texas. For those that have driven it, there's literally miles and miles of nothing but flat land. A law officer pulls up and knocks on the window of his truck. Not a light in sight. Says, sir, is everything okay? He said, everything's fine. Why are you stopped in the middle of the interstate? He says, I'm just simply waiting for the train to cross. Sir, there is no train. Yeah. You see it? It's going by. The crossing guards let down and I stopped because I didn't want to hit the train. He said, sir, he said, can you step out of the truck? He said, I need to talk to you for just a minute. And when he moved to step out of the truck, he turned and he looked at that officer of the law. He said, hold on just a minute. Because he shook himself. He reached and he handed him 3 log books. He said, I haven't slept for days trying to make money, trying to do something extra. He said, please get me somewhere to get some rest. This is the rest. Wherein the weary can rest. Some of you's just waiting for me to dismiss, or you can go and hopefully grab something in the atrium. I could care less if it goes stale because I don't want to play church. Because somebody may walk out of this place tonight. At some point in time, the mask is going to come off. Can't keep pretending